Dan Bridges is the Naperville School District Superintendent. Dan, thanks for joining us again. You're on WGN.
John, how are you?
I don't know if you knew that camel one, Dan, but you get bonus points if you did.
I'm sorry, I don't. Nope.
Well, it's not your specialty now, is it, sir?
No, exactly.
These days, sir, what is your specialty?
Boy, you know, I think that changes every day. It feels like the specialty today is really getting ourselves ready to get back to school.
What is the size or maybe the rank of your school district in the state?
Yeah, so Naperville Community Unit School District 203 serves early childhood through high school students, about 16,500 students, the ninth largest school district in the state of Illinois.
Yeah, I knew it was a big one. So what am I looking at? Naperville Central, what schools are you?
Yeah, Naperville Central and Naperville North are our high schools.
Yeah. What have you decided? Because the headline was that you guys changed some plans around. Where are we today?
Yeah, so last night we had a Board of Education meeting, and the administration, we presented to the board our recommendation and our plan to begin the 2020-21 school year with an e-learning model, and then slowly transition into a hybrid learning model for those that are ready to return for in-person, ultimately with our goal of a complete return to full in-person instruction.
No one will begin in the building, though?
Yeah, so our primary mode of delivery for the beginning of the school year is going to be remote. We will have some groups of students or some individual students with some special services and needs that we will be able to service in person, but our primary mode of instruction will be an e-learning model.
When will you give parents the option then to do hybrid?
Yeah, so we're going to assess kind of our status about every 6 weeks. So our first stage, beginning on the first day of school, September 1, will last until early October, where we'll, you know, kind of take a sense of where we're at with our metrics from the health standpoint, but then also just our ability to operationalize some of the expectations that we have from the state.
So do you have a line in the sand, like you said, early October, October 15th maybe? Are you going to go 6 weeks before
you?
Yeah,
it's about 6 weeks, so that's second week of October. And, you know, I think, John, I think it's an important thing for a lot of our school districts across the state, Naperville, as well as many others. This is such a fluid process right now. You know, as we see metrics and numbers changing and how the pandemic's impacting communities, one of the things that I think is important for our families to know is that this is a very fluid situation. We have to respond to new guidance that comes from the State Board of Education or the Illinois Department of Public Health or changing conditions within our own local communities. So, you know, that's our plan to assess it. But we're prepared, and our work has been very, you know, thorough to say, you know, how are we going to set ourselves up to get to full in-person instruction, which we do very well and we want for all of our kids. But unfortunately, what if this pandemic takes a turn and we have to remain full remote? So it's, you know, we've kind of set up a number of scenarios for us, and I think we're really prepared to take on whatever is thrown our way.
Would you say that you have the luxury, the resources to do this where a poorer school district does not?
You know, I think it's just, you know, from our local context, we are blessed to have a strong partnership with our community and great community support, and we are a well-resourced district. But, you know, this pandemic and how we've had to respond has had impact on all of our communities and all of our school districts. So, you know, an example, John, would be that we are a one-to-one district, which means that all of our students have access to technology that we provide for them. And we work with community partners to ensure that we have connectivity. So, yeah, other parts throughout the state are a little bit face a few more challenges in that area. But we are well situated to be able to deliver this e-learning model. We have experience, you know, prior to the pandemic of providing online learning as well as what's called blended learning, which is partially online and partially in the classroom. So, you know, this really is not super new for us. We've done work over the past years to kind of, you know, be in a situation where we can respond pretty flexibly to the changing situation.
This isn't why I called, but I was thinking of my conversation with Jesse Sharkey a little while ago, the president of the Chicago Teachers Union. CPS wants the kids to come back in the building, and they just don't have these resources. And I suppose the gap between the students with resources and those without the resources is sure going to widen this year. Now, there's nothing you can do about that, but I can't help but notice, talking to the two of you today, how different the circumstances are.
Yeah, you know, that was one of the observations and comments I made very early when we had to suspend in-person instruction is that, you know, across the nation, across the state, and even locally, academic opportunity and achievement gaps were probably going to widen. So even within our own community, we've had to work very closely with our foundation because while overall as a community, this may be a more affluent community, you know, we still have a pretty significant low-income population that we have to support. And so we've partnered with our foundation, who, and thanks to significant community responses, being able to help us provide, we've served over 35,000 meals for students in our community who don't have access to that or depend on schools to do it. So while, you know, I recognize, you know, gaps between Naperville and CPS may be significant, there's gaps within our own district, too, that we've identified and we've had to work through.
The word we've heard a little bit these days is synchronous. Will it be real-time, one-on-one, or one-to-a-classroom learning? Will it be like TV, we're there? How much synchronous learning will you have?
Yeah, so some of that comes from state guidance. Different than last spring when we were in emergency mode switching into the pandemic, as we go into the beginning of this new school year, we are required to meet our minimum 5 hours of instruction daily. And the state has provided guidance that at least 2.5 hours of that must be live synchronous instruction. So at a minimum, we'll be hitting that target. But you'll see, you know, just like in a classroom in a normal situation, various instructional modes and various instructional strategies by our teachers, that'll take place as well. You know, through online conferencing, you know, a teacher may deliver a lesson to the entire class and then put them into breakout groups electronically to work on more specific tasks as small groups. So I think you're going to see a variety of instruction. Our e-learning model is going to be very rigorous. It's going to provide access to our entire curriculum and our entire program to try to really accelerate the learning so that when we do return to full in-person, it's like we haven't missed a step.
I have just a couple more questions for you. Just give me just another minute of your time. Dan Bridges, Naperville School District Superintendent. I wonder what his reaction is to the pod learning that families will be doing on their own, hiring tutors and helping the kids with algebra or Spanish or whatever it is that's giving them trouble. And does the school have any sort of tutoring resources for students that are struggling? Because you're not in the classroom, the teacher can't see you there. So how do you help those kids? In a minute on WGN. Dan Bridges from the Naperville School District, the superintendent, K through 12 over there, ninth largest school district in the states on a phone line. What if a kid is struggling? How do you accommodate a kid who's getting behind in algebra, even if he's trying his darndest and his mom and dad are doing their best too?
Yeah, John, I think that's one of those areas that, you know, should not look too different than it does in a typical classroom. You know, granted, it'll be through an electronic mode, but our teachers are really skilled at identifying students who are struggling on essential standards or in areas within our curriculum and need additional support. And that's where the inclusion of this synchronous instruction or this live instruction will really give a teacher an opportunity to put students into separate groups based on their needs and provide more small group instruction, albeit electronically. You know, we realize what this is a burden that is on all of us, parents included. And so just kind of understanding how we collaborate and communicate together to ensure that we're providing the support necessary. We've had a number of students who have worked to establish tutoring groups as well. So there are opportunities for some of our high school kids to be tutoring younger kids as well as some of their classmates. But then again, part of our system here, what we've set up, is to be able to assess our kids, the progress that they're making, and identify students who may need additional supports earlier and provide them opportunities to come in for that support.
Yeah. What are you going to do with extracurricular stuff then in the fall, music, sports, drama, things like that?
Yeah, so we're still working through some of our clubs and activities. We expect them to run electronically as able. And then for high school athletics, we do at this time plan to follow the Illinois High School Association guidance and their revised schedule for the coming school year. So we've had some summer conditioning and athletic camps.
Oh, yeah, right. That's
well
already been decided.
Bands going on already.
Yeah. You're going to play football in February, March, and
right.
Run cross country now. But then what about orchestra? What happens to them?
Yeah, so you know, again, some of that will be delivered as part of the curricular part through electronic means. Band, for example, or like I said, our marching band has been practicing throughout the summer with appropriate social distancing and guidelines that are in place. So our curriculum programs will continue, you know, with social distancing requirements. Singing is going to be a challenge for us, you know, just because without masks. But, you know, I think our school experience is going to look much like it, as much as it can, like a typical school year.
You thinking about something in the newsroom over there, Steve Bertrand?
Well, Superintendent, I know that there have been different ideas of forming pods for at-home schooling, like substitute teachers or teachers who work on their own. They'd form a pod with other students. And I wonder from your side as the administration, do you encourage that to work with your teachers, or have you seen much of that happening out there?
So, you know, in terms of how you've described it, I'm not familiar with much of that. There have been conversations that, you know, I think I have heard stories about groups of parents kind of collaborating together to get groups of kids together. Oh, yeah. And in terms of, you know, my thoughts about that, first and foremost, I'm concerned about the safety and health of all of our kids, and I would encourage, you know, anything that's done outside of our school and our structured online to follow appropriate social distancing guidelines provided by the state and the Illinois Department of Public Health. I think there are ways for students to collaborate electronically through Zoom, through other electronic means to be able to support each other. So I just encourage anybody who's looking at something like that to ensure that they are following the appropriate social distancing guidelines, because we want to control this. Our goal ultimately is to get kids in the classroom together and return to our normal in-person learning.
My guess is that is going to be an issue. It's and if nothing else, it's just going to be a factor in the personal lives of some of these families. A group of five families get together and Mrs. Jones comes over and helps the kids in the afternoon, but then another kid can't get into that group because they think they've got too many. And so there's going to be all those sorts of high school and grade school issues writ large, or maybe small in this case, with these families and access to certain tutors and teaching. But I'm hearing you say that you don't hope that that will be necessary, that you've kind of got this thing as under control as you can. The last thing I'll just ask you to comment on, Superintendent, is about your faculty and staff. If in October, the earliest you might come back, say the middle of the month, what if a teacher is not comfortable with that? How do you accommodate those people?
Yeah, we'll take that on a kind of a case-by-case basis. Certainly, we want to be respectful of our staff who may have medical conditions or caring for those who are fragile as we return to learn. But in our hybrid plan, when we get kids back, you know, we'll expect there to be instruction in place. And so, but certainly want to be respectful of any health conditions that come forward. We've had a very, our staff, our teachers want to be back with kids. Respectful of some concerns and make sure it's being done safe and healthy, which is why we're working on this gradual return plan so that we can all become more comfortable with what school is going to have to look like from this point forward. I know our staff can't wait to get back into a classroom with our kids, but we're going to do it in a way that is safe and is respectful of everyone's health.
Okay, Dan, taking a lot of your time. I know you're busy wearing all the hats you do right now. Good luck. Congratulations on what sounds like a well-thought-out plan. I suppose no matter what you do, there will be people that will not be happy. There must be people who absolutely want the kids in the building, but there's absolutely a population that think that's insane right now, particularly
right.
Like this week. It just seems like this is the wrong time to lean in that direction. Good luck to you guys, and we'll stay in touch. We wish you the best.
Thank you.
Dan Bridges, Superintendent, Naperville Schools, K through 12.